We Made This.
Hello everyone and welcome to the XCast. Oh, hang on a second. Maybe not the XCast. The Foulest Minutes. This is our separate little baby for Dan Fowley. People who know me know that I have an affinity for the foul one. So we're going to do a little mini podcast called The Foulest Minute. People remember last summer that we did a film, Fight the Future, and we did that minute by minute. So this is going to be slightly different though. This is going to be on Diana Fowley's appearances, so or not necessarily appearances, but when she's mentioned or around and stuff like that. So it won't be 500 episodes long or whatever it may be, but it's going to be something that I was really kind of looking forward to, maybe, you know, doing something a bit different, something that, you know, won't be ever be thought of in any other podcast. So I've invited Sarah along because we've discussed this over quite some length of time, and this is the formula that we've come up with. So without further ado, Sarah Blair, you've come along with us. I'm sorry if I feel like I'm torturing people, but this is the way things are. This is what I want, and this is what you said you'd do. So how are you doing?
I'm good. Kurt, I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me to do this because I love Diana Fowley so much. It's really an honor to be here, to be able to talk about her. She's such a dynamic character that I really feel like she's probably, I know I talk about Skinner a lot on the XCast, but I think Fowley is just, I mean, she's tied definitely because there's just so much there to discuss and talk about regarding her character. I can't wait to just get in depth with her and really dig into this. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, she is undervalued, as I think. I think, obviously, she's one of my favourite characters of all time. I think that the problem that I have is that I struggle to, whenever people talk about Millennium, for example, there's a character called Lucy Butler who's in the tree episode in Syzygyny. Sarah Jane Redmond, she's also in I Want to Believe as well. And I have one of those things. I can only kind of say this in a way. The best way of describing it is, if, say, for example, Gillian Anderson was to walk past and I was to have a 5-minute conversation with her, and I wouldn't know what to say. And I think that's how I feel about Diana Fowley. So the fact that, you know, when Carl asked me in the main show of the XCast, like, so what is it with Fowley that you really like? And I kind of was like, well, she's great, isn't she? And that's all I managed to get out. So I really want to, like, process, you know, these minutes just to see, you know, how it all kind of formulates in my brain to make me understand why I love her so much.
Right. And so, you know, just to give people kind of an idea of what we're going to do with the show, we're going minute by minute with Diana Fowley. Every minute that she is on the X-Files, we're going to be there. We've got interviews with fans. Kathy Glinski, oh my goodness, she showed me her Diana Fowley collection. It is amazing. She's got so much Fowley art. She showed me, I'm not going to spoil it. We're going to put it here in the teaser and you're going to get to hear it for yourself. It's amazing. I can't wait for you guys to listen to that episode. And, you know, we've gone in depth. We've talked with Carl and Cortland a few of the minutes, so it's going to be a fun show. I think everybody is going to be really, really excited to hear all this stuff about Diana Fowley.
Yeah, and we're hoping to get this released between season 6 and season 7. Mm-hmm. We've put a lot of pressure on ourselves, haven't we, really, because, you know, we're just coming to the end of season 6 with recordings as we speak, and season 7 won't be far behind. So, you know, it's nice that we've already made a bit of a stretch because we've kind of done it backwards. I mean, this is the way podcast production goes, really. that we're actually talking about this at the beginning when, you know, you've already made a couple of recordings. I've still got to do my recordings and with the guests I've got. And I'm really hoping that the efforts I've made might come to fruition towards the finale episode. I'm hoping it comes off, but I'll leave that as a little bit of secrecy and, you know, hopefully it'll be a big surprise, but yeah, I'm looking forward to doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know, people listened to our XCast coverage of XFest, but we actually met in person just before that at Fowley Fest, right? And that was just such an incredible experience. And I actually feel like, you know, XFest was great, but Fowley Fest was something like truly, truly special. We all just really had a fun time, and it, like, the lines were just out the door. It was amazing fan experience, but it was like this sense of community, you know, all gathered around Diana Fowley.
I mean, the way they set it up was like it was like a Berlin conference, wasn't it? It was just the way that they managed to squeeze in some of the stuff that's actually happened in the show as well, you know. So that was good. And the redressing of Amal Fati was something to behold. And I know a lot of people love the cardboard cutouts of Duchovny and Mimi Rogers. So yeah,
just amazing. It was good fun. So yeah, I'm so glad that we got to experience that, and I hope that everybody's gonna have a fun time hearing about that in our podcast. So
yeah, I can't wait to talk about my handcuff experience. I really can't.
Kurt, remember what happens at Fowley Fest stays at Fowley Fest, okay? But yeah, why don't we go ahead and give everyone kind of a taste of what they're going to be able to hear on the show. We've got a few clips.
Yeah, I've heard most of these. I haven't heard all of them, so this is going to be really good for me because I haven't heard all of them yet. So I'm looking forward to listening to the shows I've not been on. So yeah, great stuff.
Yes, we've got some good stuff. Let's check it out. What is it about her that is so distinctive to you, Corlin?
Well, I mean, I think it's such a hard thing to quantify when you think about Diana. She has such a huge range in the show. You know, she has such a strong presence, and she comes in. And I think that what's really unique is how obviously she manipulates the situation in her favor.
I just think back to what it was like in the 90s. Everybody would say, okay, this is a show, it's the X-Files, and yeah, there's a guy, yeah, there's a redhead. But really, everybody was talking about Diana Fowley, weren't they? Everyone was like, you've got to watch the show because of Diana Fowley. And it's true, you know, no matter what's going on with the other characters, you're always completely on Diana's side. Like, her motivation's crystal clear. There's never any doubt about what she's up to. She's probably the most moral character I've ever seen in any television show ever. And I just really appreciate that. I feel like I'm watching not just a great FBI agent, but also just a fantastic humanitarian, really. So for me, that's the main thing, is her moral compass is so clear.
Icon, really.
Feminist icon.
Yeah.
Can I just say how shocked I was to go to the movie theater and see Fight the Future? And I was waiting the whole time for Diana Fowley to show up, and she never did. I couldn't understand. I mean, I know they had to film it ahead of time, but then you had the end and then you had the beginning. She was in both of those. Like, they couldn't have just done some pickup shots or like added in a few scenes or something, because they knew by that point, right? It's just, I was really, really disappointed not to see her somewhere in there. I feel like she could have really played a pivotal role in that film, and they just completely excluded her. It was just, I still can't get over it.
But don't you think that overall makes her character that much more powerful? Like, she's, it shrouds her in even greater mystery.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Diana. You never needed to see much of her to, like, really appreciate her. Like, that, if you think about that 17-second appearance in the episode Two Fathers, I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that redefined television, basically. So, I mean, it was a big thing, though, Sarah, at the time, wasn't it? I heard about walkouts in the theatre when Fight the Future came out, and there was no Diana. I hear about people fainting in disgust.
It was really difficult when I got to the end of that and she didn't show up. And I mean, like, I stayed till the end of the credits hoping that maybe.
Oh, can you imagine? That would have been genius. An end of credits, Diana Fowley.
Well, don't forget the director's cut that came out many years later when I did some weird CGI and put her in kind of like they did with Star Wars, you know. But yeah, I think anyone who was a fan during the original run knows your pain, Sarah, I think. But we'll have to do a podcast on those extra scenes at one point during this project.
That'd be great. Carl, were you able to get a copy of that? Did you get one at Fowley Fest? Because they were sold out when I finally made it over there to the table. They went like hotcakes at Fowley Fest.
Not at Fowley Fest, although that was an event for the ages, but there is a little place known as the Black Market where I was able to find a copy. Yeah, unofficial channels, basically. It's, you got to do what you got to do.
Smart. I didn't want to wait in the line. The line was massive, you know, hours long. Yeah.
I don't blame you, Cortland. It was ridiculous.
Well, obviously, she defines the series. And then, of course, many years later, Darren Mooney wrote that book, Inside Diana Fowley, which I think was a really good addition to the literature about that character. So I definitely would recommend anyone check that out. I know Darren's coming on, isn't he, for a two-hour podcast about...
We went for 4 hours. That's going to be a two-part episode.
Oh, well, understandable.
So, Annie, I know that you really love writing fanfic and you love reading fanfic too. But who is your favorite character to write about?
Well, I would say, hands down, my favorite character to read and write about would be the underrated Diana Fowley. If anybody knows me at all from my Twitter, from, you know, all the stories that I post about, they know that Diana Fowley is the one that I talk about the most. And she's really just an intricate and intelligent character who doesn't get her due. It's really disappointing, really.
I mean, she is so multifaceted.
Absolutely.
There's just so much to dig into. And I feel like maybe fanfic is the greatest place to do it because you can really expand on her character. You can expand her world and really make her shine in a way that she didn't get a chance to shine on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So she was in a total of 6 episodes, I believe. And Mimi Rogers just was amazing, blew it out of the park. And, there is a lot to explore there, as you said, a lot of the missing scenes, the in-betweens, the what happens between her and Mulder, which I bet was just so steamy. Right?
I know. And talking about, some of my favorite fanfics to read are the ones that incorporate and revolve around Fowley and Mulder's marriage. I just love seeing them together. And I mean, I know it didn't last so long, but it was so fraught with just angst, and they're so dynamic together. There's just so much to write about there. It's
the sparks that fly between them. Oof.
Oh my gosh. I mean, they talk about how David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson have chemistry, but it's nothing compared to Mimi Rogers and David Duchovny. I mean, it's they fly off the screen. It just sets it on fire. It's too much.
Agreed.
It's hard to read sometimes because I just have to go put my head in the freezer. It's too much.
And you know, it makes me so angry how Scully was so unjust and unfair with the way she treated Fowley. It was disgusting and unbecoming of her.
Well, it's so frustrating because you want to see women supporting each other. And I feel like, yeah, you know, Scully, she was more of the skeptic and Fowley was more of a believer, but that was no reason that they couldn't work together. I mean, Scully worked together with Mulder just fine. They're, you know,
just fine. Yeah.
It's just, you know, where is the solidarity? I feel like that could have been explored a lot more.
And so, that's what fanfic is for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Kathy Glinsky has the most amazing Diana Fowley collection in her office. Kathy, how did you decide to start collecting Diana Fowley art and posters?
I knew from the second I saw Diana Fowley on screen that she was going to be my favorite character of all time. I just knew it. So I really had to search out some of these objects, but I really love them. And it just makes me happy to look around my office and see Diana Fowley everywhere. My favorite piece, though, I have to tell you, I commissioned this especially. It's Diana and Mulder's wedding picture. It's just so beautiful. Oh, just the most...
It makes me want to cry just looking at it.
I know, right?
It's so beautiful. Guys, I wish that you could see this because it's just, it's so real. And just, you can see the love in their eyes for each other.
Yeah, yeah. Like they were like truly happy for that 65 days that it lasted.
I just love it.
It's a love story for the ages. It really is.
I love it. I love it. And we got to meet at Fowley Fest, and that was so fun.
I don't think I ever fangirled so hard in my life.
Right?
It was great.
Oh my goodness, it was just the best. It's the best experience just for us to all be together, and it was so much fun because, you know, that was the first time that we had all met up together as a group, and I know we had kind of like hung out at other X-Files conventions, but it just wasn't the same. It didn't have the same feeling.
It's not the same. Know? No.
Yeah.
No, because I mean, we were all there because we love this character, Diana Fowley. And it just, we shared that in common, no matter what other differences we might have. We love Diana Fowley. And it was a magical time.
It really was. Magical was exactly the word that I was going to use, actually. Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. There's no other experience as an X-Files fan that I have ever felt before or since, really.
No, exactly.
It was just something really special in the air. I hope that we get to do that again. But, you know, even if we get to do another Fowley Fest, I'm not sure that it can really capture the same feeling of being there that first time.
I know. There's nothing like your first. Yeah.
No, not at all. Yeah. So tell me, I know you love Fowley fanfic too. Do you write Fowley fanfic, or is that something that you?
Okay, I've never admitted this to anyone before, but back in the day, I used to write Fowley Mulder fanfic all the time. I never had the nerve to publish it, so I just have like old floppy disks saved full of Mulder Fowley fanfic. And you know, I probably will never print it out or post it anywhere, but just knowing I have that, it's something I cherish.
It's a treasure. It's really a treasure, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I would love to read it, but I know that's special to you, so I understand.
Yeah.
You know, plus floppy disks, I get it. They're just, it's on there. So like, who's got
really,
floppy disk anymore?
It's just a decoration at this point, but yeah. I know what it means. Yeah.
Diana Fowley, the writing did her such an injustice. I mean, really, who is Diana? Who were her parents? Like, she might as well, the way Chris Carter writes her, she might as well just exist in Mulder and Scully's world. But I know her world is bigger than that. And that's what I was going for in writing Mega Bitch. Because that's, of course, from Mulder and Scully's perspective. We both know Diana Fowley is the real hero of the X-Files. Some people stop watching after season 8. I stopped watching after they killed her off. That's it for me. I don't even stick around for the forehead kiss. I mean, an off-screen death, I was devastated.
The thing that I loved about your musical, Emily, was I really felt like Diana's song was more of like a power ballad. Like, I really felt like it was empowering. Like,
like taking back the word bitch and claiming it.
Absolutely.
As her own. And like, yes, I am a mega bitch. You got a problem with it? Muldar, snap, snap, snap.
You know it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you felt that. And I hope all women in the world are empowered by Diana Fowley, and that the Fowley effect will continue to encourage women to enter law enforcement.
We got a little bit of her backstory. I mentioned, you know, she went out to explore her law enforcement opportunities outside of the United States. I mean, she went international. That was just really incredible.
This is the period of her life I'm most interested in as well. I do have a new musical in the works I've been working on over the pandemic.
Can you talk about it a little bit? Or, I mean, is this breaking news? Can we make an announcement? Or
this is the first time I'm announcing it publicly. My friends and family have been forced to hear about it nonstop for the past year, but I'm ready. It's almost ready. I'm ready to talk about it. So it's about, you know, after she and Mulder break up, Diana goes to Europe to really find herself. It's very much Eat, Pray, Love meets The Bourne Identity. She's a woman going through Europe, finding herself, finding love, eating food, while being courted by this shadow organization to lie to the American public about the existence of extraterrestrials. So it's really Eat, Pray, Love meets Jason Bourne meets E.T., and it's a musical.
Yeah, Tony and Matt, I mean, that episode that Diana Fowley was on of the Davy Train just blew me away. I can't even. You guys are the experts on the Davy Train.
I believe that final scene took about 48 days to film. I am completely unsure how they managed to get Mimi Rogers to punch an asteroid and to like save the planet. I mean, that was orphan. I mean, and the children, the kid actors that played all those orphans that she saved.
I know.
I mean,
yeah, I know. It's incredible, really. I think what impressed me the most was the method acting of the asteroid, Jim, because I think,
you know, he's an ass. I've met him.
I think
I've met him.
You've met Jim.
Yeah, you remember? Okay, I've been on the set. You know, I've been on the set, right? Yeah.
But I just thought he was particularly good in this because, you know, this isn't the first time we saw Jim on the Davy Train. Obviously, Jim cropped up in season 3.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Diana episode was great. I mean, as great as it is, as for the redemption arc of basically saving the whole planet, I do feel like they pretty much wasted Jim.
Yeah, it was wonderful, really, and it was such a shame that they took the really quite crass decision of having Diana Fowley try and sleep with an asteroid. You know, I just found that really, you know, it was too much, really. I think they were doing so well with the redemption, like you say, she saved all the alien orphans, you know, from the planet. That was, and it would surprise me that they actually called a planet in script, because yeah. I don't know how you spell that. She was doing so well, you know, all those the orphans, you know, yeah. And then they have to try and have her have sex with an asteroid, which, you know, I think is as rich an actor as Jim is, the logistics of that, I mean, you know, well, can you imagine it, Latham?
All that paper mache.
It was a hell of an episode.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I still, as much as I think he kind of redeems like fairly for the whole thing, I still kind of it's just
do you though? Do you really think it redeems her?
You know, do you think her redemption is earned in this episode? Because remember, this happens just before or her final appearance on the X-Files. You know, and canonically, I struggle to imagine how she went from sleeping with Jim to then taking a bra off with Mulder. You know, it was a real, how could you do that? You know, I don't know. I feel like she's essentially cheating on Mulder with an asteroid. And I've got my real problems with that on a fundamental moral level, Latham.
So you don't think the asteroid-human relationship should work? Is that what you're saying?
Look, I'm just saying I've never seen a convincing one, okay? And I've seen a lot of them because Jim crops up on a lot of shows. He's like, he's like the St. Elsewhere kid. Like, you know, we live in the Jim extended universe.
Yeah, but I...
And you will see him in everything.
Look... I said it before, he's an arsehole. Two, he gets typecast. I mean, he has one hit movie with Armageddon, and then he's a fucking asteroid and everything.
I know. Did you see the sequel to that, by the way? Armageddon Out of Here. Did you see it?
But no, I did not see Armageddon Out of Here.
I'm losing track now of what's what. Because remember in that episode, Dave and Diana go to the gym and that's where she tells him about Jim, and it all gets very confusing, you know, when they're running, you know. And that, in fact, that's what's weird about the episode is that's the only time you see Dave Krychek.
Yeah, I believe...
Even though it's the Davey train, it became the Fowley train, really.
I believe that was because he was filming something else at the time. I can't remember what it was. It might have been an X-Files episode.
Wasn't it the third asteroid film, Armageddon On With It? Wasn't it that?
I think it was the fourth one. So Armageddon Sick of It. Right. Armageddon Sick of These Puns.
Armageddon Sick of It.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've seen that. No, I haven't seen that one.
No. Oh, yeah. But yeah, because I think originally Nicholas Lee was going to go and direct that episode as well. I think he lost a bet.
Wait, what was the episode with the cigarette smoking mackerel?
Oh, hang on. That was, what was the name?
Smoked Salmon.
That was it. Smoked Salmon. Yeah. Smoked Salmon. Season five?
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
I always get seasons four and five mixed up. I always get it mixed up.
Yeah.
Happens
to us all.
Yeah, it's a season where they jump in the future for a year. That's mm-hmm. the one that throws out.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Yeah, is that with Korgoth?
Yes,
the mad. Yeah, that's right.
And then they
get
in the shower, and then it's like a time warp back, and it just is like nothing happened, but it did, but then it didn't because time. Thank you for joining us for this extra special episode of the Foulest Minute, and always remember, trust no one.
Elsewhere on We Made This. Cerebral Jukebox.
Yeah, I suppose there's something quite freeing about not knowing the words. So even if they're super dark, you just don't know. So you can, like, because you know you can get, like, a lot of songs which have a really cheerful musical undertone, but the actual meaning is quite nasty. And you're like, ooh, this song is a bit much, really. But I suppose with songs that you don't know the actual meanings of, it's just sort of remains it with its, like, innocent musical intention. I mean, obviously, Feliz Navidad is going to be a happy song. It's a Christmas song.
Right in the childhood.
So, Fraser, have you heard of Round the Twist?
I have not, and the only reason I've done that Australian accent is because I think you mentioned it last time that it was an Australian show.
I did.
So that's all I've got.
So it's an Australian show from the early 90s.
It's not like Home and Away or Neighbours.
I mean, it has the same accents.
Oh, if we can say the same actors.
There might be, I don't remember.
They just do the same three shows over
Wouldn't
and over
it be funny if Harold Bishop turned up?
I was going to say like Chris Hemsworth or like one of them.
Was Chris Hemsworth in Neighbours?
Yeah.
Was he?
I think Margot Robbie was as well.
Really? Kylie Minogue?
Yeah.
But the thing is, it will be Kylie Minogue era. It'll be Kylie Minogue, Jason Donovan, Stephen Dennis, Craig McLaughlin, all of these.
The time is now. A Millennium podcast.
To watch Millennium. And again, this is
just to stress this, by the way.
I was 18 at the time, so I'm just going to say that. Yeah, okay.
I know. And were you a Kiss fan, Kurt?
I was a rock fan. I don't think I was a Kiss fan, no.
Yeah, because this is exactly the situation that you're in, where you're talking about like middle-aged men in suits in Hollywood who are trying to project what kids want from their entertainment and what will bring them in. It's the same logic that got you, for example, Coolio in the episode Or and of Space Above and Beyond, which is Fox desperately reaching into the darkness and trying to find something that would make kids watch it. Because it's worth noting that Kiss were, I believe, in the middle of something close to a Kissonnaissance. Is that what we'll call it?
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network. The X-Cast and X-Files podcast is produced and hosted by Tony Black, alongside a dedicated team of podcasters and X-Files fans. You can find the show on Twitter at @X_cast, on Facebook by typing in the X-Cast, or inside our group, the X-Files Basement, an X-Cast podcast fan group, plus on Instagram by typing in the XFCast. If you're a fan of the show, why not support us on Patreon? Exclusive bonus episodes, early access to new episodes, plus become part of our XCast community in the Patreon department. To see our monthly subscription options, just head to patreon.com/thexcast. That's patreon.com/thexcast. We'd love to see you join our Patreon community. We're also part of the We Made This podcast network at We Made This Pod on Twitter and We Made This on Facebook. You can find a range of shows on TV, film, music, and popular culture in general on the network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.